together. We're in the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 57 now. Psalm 57, there's a lot of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. It's like the most chapters of any book, so to speak, really in the entire Bible. But it's really full of beautiful, wonderful, amazing things for our lives. And I hope and I pray that Psalm 57 is that way for you today. I think it will be. The Psalms, like the entire Bible, but really with the Psalms, you can connect with God in the Psalms. Why? Because David is very open and vulnerable about his life. He's not putting on a show. He's not making you think, well, there's David up there and I'm down here. No, David is in the weeds. He's in the thick of it. He's in the valley. He's dealing with problems and issues in his life, just like you and I deal with problems and issues. So it's really a set of prayers and a set of chapters, a set of books, whatever you want to call the Psalms. It's a way for us to apply that our lives. We could see ourselves with David. We could see us as David going through things. And I believe that Psalm 57 will be no different. It's yet another Psalm of David, and there's a backstory to this Psalm as well. The backstory is simply when David was fleeing from Saul, King Saul, for his life, he was going all over the place. He was just hiding everywhere. Well, in this particular story that Psalm 51 takes place in, he is hiding in a cave, and he has a chance to kill Saul in the cave. It's kind of like guerrilla warfare there going on. He has a chance to kill Saul, but what happens? He doesn't do it. He doesn't take his chance to kill Saul. And the psalm shows several aspects of David's relationship with God. We're going to see how he struggled. We're going to see all the different things going on. Now, David wasn't perfect by a long shot, but as I said, he had a real relationship with God. It was real. It was authentic. It was deep. And we can see in Psalm 57 how he, and the language will show us, how he takes refuge in God, how he appeals to God. You know, he doesn't shy away from complaining to God. There's a lot of complaining to God in the Bible, and certainly it's going to be here. We're going to see it. It's biblical to complain to God sometimes. It's okay. But we also see how David exalts and praises God. And this is really an example for each of us. No matter what you're going through today, you can have that type of relationship that David did with God. So let's begin Psalm 57 together, first three verses. David begins by saying, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness." And just a little aside there, whenever it says in your Bible, Selah, S-E-L-A-H, it's a pause. It's like a musical term or ancient musical term for a pause. And I can just see how there would be a pause here, because David is talking about being trampled on and may they be put to shame. And then he pauses and he collects himself and he says, God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Sometimes as things are going on in our lives, we need to pause and we need to just remember, no matter what's going on, God will send out his chesed, his steadfast love. His loving kindness is another way to translate that. And his faithfulness to us. Okay, so David is in need here. He's seeking help from the Lord. And his wording is very interesting. We're going to look at that wording today. First of all, he uses the phrase of wanting to be, quote, in the shadow of your wings, end quote. So he wants to be in the shadow of God's wings. What does this mean? Well, this means, in general, that David wants to be protected by God. He wants to be cared for by God, cared for by the Lord. And it is a familiar phrase used elsewhere in the Bible. We're going to look at a couple of places here. First of all, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, this is in the Torah. This is one of the songs of Moses. So this is Moses speaking. And it's found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. Listen to this wording here. This is about God finding Israel, finding the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. He, God, found them in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled them. He cared for them. He kept him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. So spreading out his wings, in the shelter of your wings, spreading out his wings. You can see the parallels here. It's the same Hebrew word. And it's the same term that Boaz uses when he meets Ruth for the first time. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. We don't frequently quote from the book of Ruth, which is a short book, but it's a really beautiful book in a lot of ways. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, we read this, and this is Boaz talking to Ruth. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Now, Ruth was someone that didn't have a husband at the time for her to, you know, be with. She lost her husband. She came back to Israel from Moab. She was a Moabitess with Naomi, her mother-in-law, who was a Hebrew, who was Jewish. And, you know, they were really hurting for a time. They were really struggling for a time. So much so that Ruth and Naomi, actually, Ruth has to go out into the edges of the fields of the different people and pick the grain for food. And that was a command in the Torah, so that the poor among Israel could go and they could pick grain. So Ruth was struggling. Ruth had issues going on in her life. And Boaz says this, almost like prays this over her. Of course, we know that Boaz then becomes her husband. And there's a beautiful story with all that. But the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So there's a lot of talk about wings and coming under the wings of God and the refuge of God. The word for wings that we've been reading in the Hebrew is kanaf, and it means wings or edge or shirt, as in a garment, or it could mean the tzitzit of your garment. It's the same Hebrew word. And this is going to come into play a little bit later in this message, but I want you to remember that kanaf is the wings. So when you're under God's covering, his care, his love for you, it's almost like you're under God's tzitzit itself. So David, like Israel, under the cover of God's wings, like Ruth, under the cover of the shelter of the wings of God, they're seeking refuge. And the text says, In Psalm 57 now, David is seeking refuge under the kanaf of God, under the wings of God. How long is he seeking refuge? Well, it says in the text in Psalm 57, he seeks refuge, quote, till the storms of destruction pass by, end quote. Now that's very dramatic, right? Oh, you know, sometimes David could get very dramatic. Oh, they're trying to kill me in the storms of destruction, but they were literally trying to kill him, so he wasn't exaggerating there. But till the storms of destruction pass by, very interesting wording here. There's some Hasidic discourse and commentary on this, and it was very fascinating, and I want to go into it for a minute here. It talks about a double meaning when it says storms of destruction. On the one hand, so protect me from the storms of destruction, right? On the one hand, there's the obvious thing. David is asking to be protected by Saul because Saul is chasing and trying to kill David. He's hiding out. He's in a cave now in the story for Psalm 57. So God, protect me from Saul. That's the obvious meaning. But the discourse says that there's another meaning here. The other understanding is that it means, now get this, that Saul should be protected from David. You say, well, what does that mean? That's weird. You know, Saul was the one that was chasing and trying to kill David, not the other way around. Well, this psalm, if you look in the heading of your psalm in your Bible, almost all of you probably have a heading to Psalm 57. And the psalm heading talks about how this psalm is a mikdam. And that's a contraction of two words in Hebrew. Mach, which means humble, and tam, which means complete. So it is for the person to be completely humble. And what that means is the truly humble, the quote here in the Jewish commentary is, the truly humble have no selfish interests. Have no selfish interests. So what it is these people, to be this way, to be michdam, is to be like a tzaddik, a righteous person, a godly person. Because the carnal person would be wanting to go after Saul for what he's done to David. But the michdam, the completely humble person, the righteous one, would not do that. They would instead want God's will for the situation. So here's where we get into David and the struggle that he had with being michdam, with being completely humble, and yet also wanting to kill Saul at times. So David's situation is, he was really struggling. And I want you to read with me in 1 Samuel 24. Now, this is the backstory of Psalm 57. We're going to read a few verses here. I'll read a few verses. 1 Samuel 24, 4 through 6. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.' Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed.'" Now, there's a lot in there, but for us to all know that when back in the day, you know, there wasn't this garment, there wasn't this tallit. This was an invention several hundred years ago. But before that, people had garments that they wore, and they actually had the tzitzit sewn into the corners of their garments, the kanaf, the corner. And what's interesting, even today, is when observant Jewish men die, they're buried with their tallit. But what they do is they cut the corners off when they bury them, because this symbolizes life in the Lord. And when you're dead, your body is now gone. Your soul lives on, obviously. It's a whole other message. Your soul lives on, but your body goes back to the dust, right? So the kanaf is cut off. So what is David doing? He wants to kill Saul. And what does he do? The height of killing somebody spiritually, in a way, he cuts off the corner of his kanaf, of his tzitzit, you know, in his robe. He could have easily physically killed Saul as well. He cuts off the kanaf and he's ready to kill him. And then he gets these pangs of, you know, oh, I shouldn't do this. And because why? He had already taken away Saul's shelter, so to speak. He had already taken away that somewhat protection that Saul had in a spiritual sense. So taking refuge in God means, as with David, we're cared for by God. He protects us. But it could also mean that we have complete trust in his will, that David relents and says, I'm not going to kill him even though he deserves it, because it's not my job to kill Saul. It's God's job to deal with Saul. That is when you're completely humble. That's when you're godly to the max, so to speak, and you're really thinking about God before yourself. So Romans chapter 12, verse 19, talks about this in our in the Brit Chadashah here. "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap coals on his head, burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." David could have easily been overcome by the evil that was Saul. And he had every quote-unquote right in this world to kill him. He was trying to kill him. It was self-defense, whatever you want to call it. But David chose to be the bigger person. David chose to put Saul in God's hands and not in his own. This is a real faith walk. And this is how we can be michdam, completely humble before the Lord. It is a real sign of spiritual maturity. Yes, we want justice when people wrong us, but we also trust God to do what's best. We want to leave these people that are hurting us, afflicting us, causing problems in our lives. Turn them over to God. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't wish them ill will. Pray for them. Pray that they would change their heart and just turn them over to the Lord. This is very hard to do. I'm not suggesting this is easy, but we can see when we really look at, you know, hurt people, right? You ever heard that expression? And people, we can see their humanity when we look at that. I believe David could see Saul's humanity. And David, for whatever reasons, it was God actually, relented. And David had respect for the office of Saul. And I think he probably had a little bit of respect for Saul. And this is truly taking refuge with God. This is like the spiritually mature thing. There's the first level of taking refuge with God, which is like, God, protect me from all this. And the second and higher level that we should all want to attain of Mikdam, which is, you know what, Lord? You're in charge of it all. I give it all to you and I surrender it all to you. That's when we can truly spiritually take refuge in God. Now let's go back to Psalm 57 because there's more. Psalm 57 verse 4, David continues, "My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." So if you thought from verses 1, 2, and 3, and my little discourse a few minutes ago about it, that we should just let ourselves roll over and let people continue to do things to us and hurt us, that's also not true as well. And David turns around after he says, "Lord, you deal with Saul, and you deal with all these people that are coming against me." He turns around, and he really gives the Lord an earful about what they're doing to him. He goes into very specific language here. Lions, beasts. What is this? The connotation here is animalistic people. People that don't even listen to reason or logic. Certainly not listening to the Lord. They were ruled by their passions, and they were out to kill David. Now, the Jewish commentary here says that the language he uses is referring to all the people who in previous Psalms we have seen come against David. When it says lions, it refers to Saul's generals. These were Saul didn't plan all this himself. Saul had these generals behind him that were orchestrating this campaign to go and eliminate David. So when it says plural, when it says the lions, it refers to Saul's generals. When it says the fiery beasts, it refers to Doeg, who we read about a few weeks ago, and Ahithophel. You remember him probably. When it refers to people whose teeth that are spears and arrows, this refers to the people of Keilah. When it refers to people whose tongues are sharp as swords, this refers to the Ziphites who told Saul where David was a couple of Psalms ago. So this section of the Psalms shows David, verse 4, appealing to God, complaining to God about the situation. Not just saying, "Oh, okay, Lord, you'll deal with them and the Lord bless them," you know. No, he was complaining to God about his situation. He was complaining to God about them and their ungodliness. Matthew 11, 28 tells us this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So this is what these are Yeshua's words when he's talking to his disciples. But these are words that are even for us today. When we have these problems, when we have these issues, we should cry out to God. We could come to God. All of you who labor and are heavy laden. Many times you and I are heavy laden by all the problems we face, by all the people that would oppose us. But what does God say? What does the Lord say here? He says, "I will give you rest. I will keep you under the shelter of my wings," so to speak, my kanaf. As followers of Yeshua, we should be doing this. We should be going to God with our problems, even speaking out things that are distressing to us, that are problems in our lives. Now let's continue in Psalm 57 with David's complaining. Verse 6, they set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. David continues his appeal to God. He says, set a trap. He says, they set a trap This implies cunning. This implies a plotting and a planning and a premeditation. These people were premeditatively trying to kill David, to murder David. David cries to the Lord about this, and we see David having this situation in his life a lot. You know, many of us think when we get right with God, everything's going to just be great, and I wish it was. But it seems many times like sometimes the problems magnify. I think it seemed like that for David, because elsewhere, even in the Psalms, he cries out to it, about it to God. He complains to God about his situation. Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2, an early psalm of David. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. It's not even enough that they're out to get David, but they're basically saying, yeah, your soul has no rest. You'll get no salvation from God. How terrible is that? Psalm 18, verse 6, another psalm of David. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. We have to believe that our cries are going to reach the ears of God when we complain to him about our situation. Just like David, we need to be honest before the Lord. Many of us we're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with other people. But you know who we really need to be honest with? It's God, because he sees it all. You can't hide from God. You can't put on a face with God. He sees everything that's in our heart. Many scriptures talk about this. And we need to be honest with him because he sees it already. We need to be vulnerable with him like David. We need to appeal to him, because why? He wants that. He wants us to come to him. He says, come to me. Yeshua's words, come to me and I will give you rest. Okay, let's continue on in the text. Psalm 57, let's go back to verse 7 now. Jumping around a little bit here. Back to verse 7 through 10. David continues. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. So a little bit of a change here now. David is now exalting and praising God. He's gone through the complaining part. It's good to complain. You got to get it out of your system sometimes. A lot of times. But then you should reach a point to where we just trust and know God's got it. We trust. We have this mikdam. We're completely humble before the Lord. We believe that God is protecting us. We also believe that God heard us about the people that are trying to take us out. And now we're just left with this peace of knowing that God's in charge. And David is left exalting and praising God. Now, interestingly enough, he says in verse 8, I will awaken the dawn. He says that, but why doesn't he say, well, the dawn will awaken me, or God will awaken me? It's very specific. He says, I will awaken the dawn. Well, there's this concept in the Jewish commentary. So give me a minute here to explain this, and then we're going to tie this all together. There's this concept of a term in Judaism called Benoni, the Benoni. And in Jewish understanding, when we look at man or mankind, you know, man or woman, there's an internal wrestling going on. This is Jewish understanding here. This is Judaism here. Man has an internal wrestling match going on inside of him or her. There is two things happening. There is two souls, so to speak, even though we have one soul. There is the nefesh elokit, which is the godly soul, and the nefesh habehamit, which is the animalistic soul. So you've got a godly soul and you've got an animalistic soul. And the Benoni's mind, the Benoni is like a righteous person, kind of like the mikdam. The Benoni's mind is largely controlled by the godly soul. So that's good, right? This is a godly person. This is a believer, a righteous person, tzaddik. So they're controlled by this godly soul. And that's a good thing. But there's still wrestling going on. They're still wrestling with the animalistic soul. This is a teaching in Judaism. And it sounds very familiar. And if it does sound familiar to you, it should sound familiar, because in the New Covenant, it's referred to not as the Benoni, but it's referred to as this battle between the spirit and the flesh. Same thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. This is Rav Shaul talking. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." It's no coincidence this is all tied together, because we know Rav Shaul was an observant Jew who really understood all this rabbinic discourse. He was in the thick of it. He was trained. He was a Pharisee. He understood the mentality and the mind, and he understood about the godly and the animalistic wrestling that we have going on within each of us. And he even said, in a very candid, vulnerable moment, in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I won't turn there, but you can turn there, you probably read it. He talks about, he struggles with this, and the times that he wants to do good, he doesn't. And the times that he doesn't want to do good, sometimes he does. So he's wrestling and he's struggling with this. In Romans chapter 7, you can read about it. So David, going back to David, he is saying in Psalm 57, I will awaken the dawn. What that means is, I'm going to choose to exalt God. I'm going to choose the righteousness aspect. I'm not going to go down this road in my mind of that animalistic soul, of tit for tat with Saul. He's trying to kill me, so I'm going to kill him first. You see, that's the animalistic soul. That's the flesh. That's what it tells us constantly. But when we're controlled by the Spirit, by the godly soul, so to speak, then we can exalt, we can praise God. We have this weight taken off of us, because we know, even though the world does things to us, that the world can't come inside here. The world can't steal our joy. The world can't steal our peace, our shalom, that passes all understanding. So David is choosing, I will awaken the dawn. I'm going to get up and praise God. He's proactively choosing to exalt and praise the Lord. Now, the last two verses I haven't read yet are the same, and we're going to put them up now. Psalm 57, verse 5, and Psalm 57, verse 11. These are refrains in the song of Psalm 57, and it says this: "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And he repeats it. And whenever God repeats something, or Scripture repeats something, you've got to pay attention, because this is something we really want to emphasize, or the Lord really wants to emphasize. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Can you imagine? The last thing you and I might be saying when we're being chased by God hiding in a cave is, "Oh, be exalted, O God, let your glory be over all the earth." Yet this is what David said in this psalm. David is actively praising and exalting God. He talks about God's glory being over all the earth. The glory of the Lord in the Hebrew is kavod. It's kavod is the word. And kavod, as in everything with Hebrew, there's a lot of rich meaning to a word. And kavod is God's visible attributes and majesty. Think of that. A visible representation, in a way, of God's attributes and his majesty. It's like when we see in the Bible the brilliance of God, you know, when there's a brilliance of Yeshua, you know, or the Father, and you can't even see it. It's just so brilliant. We see this in Ezekiel and other places. But this is like the glory, the kavod of God. And we talk also in the Bible, in Bible terms, about the weight of the glory. The glory of God is heavy, heavy upon us. It's thick, it's heavy. Exodus chapter 40. Verses 34 and 35, the last two verses of the book of Exodus. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the kavod, the glory of the Lord, filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." There was a heaviness and there was a filling. Can you imagine the visible presence of God coming down at that tabernacle way back then? I mean, they saw it in a cloud, but Moses couldn't even get into the tabernacle. It was just completely filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, can you imagine that glory being over all the earth? Can you imagine the weight, the heaviness, the majesty of God, not only in here, not only within us, but over the entire earth? That's going to be an amazing thing. So again, the Psalms are prophetic. Prophetically, David's looking forward to a day, because I don't know about you, I haven't seen the kavod of God covering the earth yet. And we're thousands of years beyond David. So we're going to see one day, Lord willing, if he should tarry, or if he should come before we die, or if he tarries, we'll still see one day the glory of the Lord fill not just the tabernacle, not just ourselves, but fill the entire earth. The question is for us, like David, do we have that posture? Do we have that feeling? Do we want the kavod of God to fill us? You know, a lot of times when we're in trouble, when we're being hunted down, so to speak, spiritually, whatever the issue is you have going on in your life, the last thing we want to do is stop and exalt and praise God and pray for his kavod to cover us. But that's what David did. So man cannot touch us, so to speak, because the glory of the Lord should be dwelling inside of us as followers of Yeshua. We should have that glory, the Ruach, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh should be within us and should be guiding and directing our lives. We have a little bit of the glory inside of us. But the question is, do we want God's glory to fill us to overflowing? You know, like at Havdalah, when you finish doing the Havdalah ceremony, you know, you pour out the wine and it overflows from the cup onto the plate. This should be God's kavod filling and overflowing us in our lives. We should be praying for that. David, I believe, had that, even in the midst of his problems and trials in Psalm 57. So we see all the things he was going through. We see the proper way that David took refuge in God. And we see him complaining to God. So there's a lot of things we can learn in this psalm. Yes, we need to take refuge in God. Yes, we also need to pray for our enemies and pray that God would, you know, change their heart, but release them to God. But we can complain about it. It's okay. He allows us to still complain about these people. It's biblical, like I said. But he also surrendered his desires to God, to say, God, you take care of this. I surrender my life to you. And Lord, may your glory, may your kavod fill me and one day the entire earth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you because we know that we have you in our lives. And I pray, Lord God, for everyone here in our community, everybody watching on the live stream. Lord, there's so many things that we're all individually going through. Many things that we don't even mention when we get together. But Lord, you know the heart. You know the innermost things that we're dealing with. And like David, Lord, we come to you and we sometimes just need to complain and let it out and vent to you. And that's okay. But Lord, we thank you because we can take refuge in the shelter of your wings. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would fill us today, that you would renew us. Take our minds off of the negative of all the problems that we have. And Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on the major positive of our life, which is you in our life. We thank you for the peace that you give us. We thank you for your kavod, just really sheltering and covering us. And we pray it continues, Lord. Be with your people. Be with your people Israel, Lord God, in the land. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of the entire earth, to know Yeshua and for his kavod, for your kavod to cover and fill the earth swiftly and soon. We thank you and praise you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen.